everyone, and welcome to Revolución, a Hispanic Heritage Month 2022 virtual event. I am your host, Rafael, a.k.a. The Latin Babbler, and our guest today has been featured on Pop Sugar, Great Day Live in Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay Parenting. She is a mom and the boss behind Lunchbox Mafia, which gives really fun lunch ideas. Welcome, Jenny, to Revolución.
Hello, Rafael. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're going to have some fun because we get to talk about my favorite subject today.
Comida.
Yeah, right? So, and not just any food, like really fun food, really fun food.
Yes.
So first, why don't we get to know about you? What was your growing up Latina experience like?
I had the best childhood. Both of my parents are from Puerto Rico. My mom's from San Sebastian. My dad's from Isabela. They came to the States. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I have an older brother, younger sister, and like a billion cousins.
Don't we all though?
Right. it was awesome. Like I just, you know, grew up listening to salsa. My parents threw like the best house parties in their tiny apartment. All the family get togethers were just incredible. And, always up and down in the block on roller skates on my bike, listening to salsa, merengue, freestyle. It was just, you know, I love sharing it. You know, my husband, he's from Rhode Island, but we had a very similar upbringing. And I love it, you know, and like my cousins are grown now. A lot of them moved to Florida. So we relive all those days with our kids, which is amazing. So it's a lot of fun. I had a great childhood.
So where are they going in Florida? They all migrated to Miami because that's where my family went.
Our first stop was Orlando, and then they just kind of like spread out. There's some people in Melbourne. I do have a cousin in Miami. I'm in Tampa Bay. There's a couple of us here, so we everywhere.
I like how you said our first stop. Like yeah. We're like ducks. We just kind of like just go to one stop, and we're like quack quack. Yeah. Ah, just go
the next
go
one.
To another one. That's. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, my whole family landed in Miami and they just never stopped.
Okay.
Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, that was,
they were done. So they're like,
we kind of followed each we followed each other to Puerto Rico and mm-hmm. then like DR and then turned around and, you know, New Jersey. We did that for a while. And then they're all down there in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
So very cool. So I mean, you do cooking. Were you always into cooking growing up?
I was, you know, just always in the kitchen with my mom helping, you know, to make dinner and everything with the whole family. I remember when we moved to Florida, my dad was the one, home, and he was like, he'd be getting ready for work at 4:30 when I got home from school, and I went straight into the kitchen. I'd, you know, help him do whatever we were cooking, and then I'd iron his uniform. He would take a nap. My mom would get home, everybody have dinner, and he would go to work. But even as a little kid, like I did, I remember I had this cookbook from Strawberry Shortcake. And one of the first things that I made all by myself. Mm. Yes. One of the things I made all by myself was like this little jelly roll. It was, you know, nothing, but hey, kid standards. I was like a chef, you know, and you roll out this, you roll out this bread, you put jelly in it and roll it up. And it was like the best thing ever. So I made it like, you know, for everybody.
Okay, so are you old enough to have the Easy Bake Oven?
Yes. Yeah.
I brought up something that somebody's going to be like, what the hell?
Yeah, they're going to have to Google it. They Google it and then they'll know.
Yeah. just go on Netflix. There's like The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah.
We're a part of that generation.
That is the best. Yeah, I love it. Yep, that's my childhood right there.
So good.
The whole thing.
It's literally my entire childhood. Yes. On full display mm-hmm. on that series.
He-Man.
And I watched it every single time it came out.
I know, because it's awesome. And they don't make toys like that anymore.
No, it's all like, I don't know, it's all cheap and stuff. Like the Easy Bake Oven was probably the best toy out there, especially for people who were trying to be like cooks.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, it was marketed. You know, to females and stuff like that. But everybody could use it.
Yeah, it was super fun.
Made your own little cakes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
It all started there.
It really did, you know. But yeah, we were always in the kitchen, you know. I mean, always, you know, cooking up stuff for the family. And then the weekends was always like a big thing, you know. Domingo familiar, it was always a big meal, and we would go either to my grandmother's house, my aunt's house, or they would come over, and you know, it was just, it was always about family, food and family.
So what was like, did you have to learn, I guess, the easy way, the hard way? Like, was your mom giving you measurements, or was it just like,
oh, you're crazy,
you make it like this based on,
mm-hmm. It's un poquito.
Based on what you,
yeah,
think. Un poquito, no?
Yeah.
It's like, because like you go on YouTube and you can find all kinds of recipes, and they're like a quarter teaspoon of this, mm-hmm. and a quarter teaspoon. Not in the Latino household. Nope. They just be throwing it out. No. Tú lo que haces, te cojo un ching.
Yep.
Un ching. Yep. That's how you measure everything. Mm-hmm. Un ching.
Un ching. Yep.
Especially for Puerto Ricans.
Oh, una cucharada. Like the big spoon that cucharada. You start with. And then it was always whenever it's like, well, how do you know it's ready? Well, when you smell it, it's done.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't cook like that, because for me, everything smells good, but it comes out bad. Like if I go based on that, I don't know, man. Especially Latino food. Latino, mm-hmm. like to get the rice. If you don't get it right, it's going to be too watery,
mm-hmm.
or like too dry, like too non-cooked for me. So just
leave it
just
covered.
Right, man.
Leave it covered and just let it keep going. That's it. It'll come out eventually.
So you're now on social media, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of curious as to how that started. Like, what started your journey from doing the recipes that you know to putting it out on social media?
You know, for a long time, I was a corporate executive. And I traveled a lot for work. Like I'm blessed. Like my career took off, and then the family came, and I stuck with what I was doing because it was just my job, and I loved it. I was gone during the week a lot, and I missed out on a lot. And to me, when I was able to change career, you know, when I was home, because there was a couple of, you know, days during the week or weeks at a time that I was home. And I loved being able to prepare lunch, because if you know, lunch is the only meal that you don't have with your kids. If you're home every night, you know, you send them off to with breakfast, yeah. they come home and have dinner. And I just started doing it because I loved it, you know. And there was times where, you know, kids are picky and they didn't always like the school lunch. And, you know, some school lunch is great. I grew up on school lunch. There's nothing wrong with school lunches. I always say that I do it because, you know, my daughter just, you know, was going through a picky phase. And so I started packing her lunch, and I was like, needed ideas, and I was really struggling. And my friend's like, oh, let me, you know, I'll add you to this mom group. And I was like, okay, cool. So it was just that. It was like a Facebook group, and people would just share pictures like, hey, here's what's for lunch today. And it helps, you know, to share, to see other ideas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was like something happened with the group. There was a, you know, like the vegetable police would get on there and just start harping about what kind of lunch is this. And, you know, I said,
the vegetable police.
Oh, yeah. It was just all kinds of stuff. Like, you need to cut the grapes smaller, or, you know, what is that? That's not healthy, or, you know, just crazy stuff.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, the mom, you know, it was like that. And I was like, you know,
these the food trolls.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this is not for me, you know. And I ended up, you know, just Instagram like started getting popular and whatever, and I was like, let me just start posting on here, because I'm like, you know, it was fun for me, it was like a creative outlet, I got into it, you know, it was super cool. So I started doing it, and then that was it. Like, I just started sharing, and then there's like this whole community, dude, like they love it. There's the lunch boxes are crazy. Like, there's so many things that people are doing now, but even back then, it was a few years ago, it was a 2017. And it just, that was it, you know, it just started like that. And, you know, the followers grew, people started liking it, and, you know, it's 2022 now. So it's been a few years.
What was the video that you think helped you kind of like pop off? Like, what was that? I mean, I know you're going way back, but like, what video do you think was the one that everybody was like, wow, this is really cool?
You know, honestly, this was before like Reels took over Instagram. It was all pictures, but there was a writer from popsugar.com that was doing a story on back to school, you know, lunch. And she listed, like, there was 20 different accounts, and I got, you know, she pulled one of mine, and I guess she went on my page, like, looked, you know, a little bit and learned a little bit about my account and stuff. And she shared, and I was like blown away. Like, I woke up one morning to like a whole bunch of followers, and we were like all trying to figure out what was happening, you know. And finally somebody found the article and she shared it, and then they created like this group and they were like, hey, let's all follow each other. And that was like really the community, you know, really grew from there. And but it was just you know, sandwiched with some goldfish and you know, just some of my daughter's favorite things. And it just, I guess people were able to relate, you know. And to me, that's the biggest compliment, is when somebody's like, hey, I love this, you know, or hey, this is doable, you know, like this is, I could do this. That to me is the biggest thing. I love that.
Yeah, because that was the other thing I was going to ask you. I know that, you know, we introduced you, your mom, yourself. So like your kids, they're on the receiving end of these lunches, right? Like as much as you can possibly do it. Because the biggest thing for single parents, I'm not just going to say moms, there are single dads out there. I was a single dad. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me to turn around and be able to, you know, do the deed where you wake up, breakfast, have lunch prepared. I did my best with it though. So I did make a lot of my kids' lunches when they were going to school. But a lot of moms, especially in this day and age, are having a lot of tough time because of the scheduling to be able to manage what they're doing with their kids. And then at the same time, be able to prepare all of these type of lunches. But I think you said you make it easier, I think, because of the way that you prepare them. Do you, you know, for the first question, do your kids get these lunches like on an everyday basis that you're doing that? And what would you say to like moms who are trying to create that same type of routine?
Like to me, I would say prep goes a long way. And here's the thing. When people think of food prep, they think like, oh, you know, like you're giving up an entire Sunday to chop everything and wash everything and do this and that. But I don't do that. You know, one of the things too is like like my number one, you ask my daughter like hot lunch or cold lunch, she's going to say hot lunch every time. So I send leftovers, you know, like that's one of the biggest things that I do is like I'll send lunch leftovers. So kids that don't have access to microwaves, you know, they need a thermos. So you get a good thermos. And you can just reheat food, put it in the thermos in the morning, and then that's it, you know. But when I talk about prep, it's like if, you know, let's say your kid likes carrots, you know, just have a few ready, you know. Like when I do a lot of stuff either when I'm cooking, because you're cooking anyway, you're cutting vegetables and you're doing whatever anyway, I just put a little bit to the side. And then as far as like hot lunches and kind of separating, you know, this is what she's going to have. Or she'll call dibs. Like if it's arroz con gandula with pollo guisado, she's like, mom, can I have that for tomorrow? And I'll separate it, you know, in the morning. And then I'll just, you know, reheat it. And the trick is for the thermoses, I always boil water and put the water in the thermos to let the thermos get hot. That way, when you put the food in, it stays hot. And it really does, because my daughter will I'll ask her all the time, you know, how was lunch? Was it still hot? You know, but it's doing what works for you. You know, I think you don't have to like get all caught up like, oh, you know, if your kid likes PB&J and, you know, because moms tell me all the time, oh, that's all she eats, then pack it. You know, if that's what makes them happy, if that's what they like, pack it, you know, do grapes on the side one day, do little cucumbers on the side one day, like whatever works, but you got to keep it simple. Like I'm getting ready for work and I'm out the door too, you know, so it's not, you know, I know it's not easy. Keep it simple, you know?
So I'm having a tough time picturing the thermos with the arroz con gandules. And so like, for instance, you're going to have to like walk it through me like I'm 6 years old. If we just had arroz con gandule and pernil, let's say the night before, all right. And yeah, I knew that was going to do that. This is the reason why I have these two flags are behind me. So arroz con gandules and pernil. And you warm it up. What kind of thermos are we talking about? Are we talking about just a regular, like a coffee thermos? Or like, how would that work?
So do like a food thermos. There's some that are wide, like have a wide mouth. You know, like there's some that are not like a, you know, not like this, but there's some that are wider, which are great for especially little kids because, you know, they got to be able to get, you know, to the food because when, you know, it's hard for them, especially to scoop. So, you know, down deep into something, but they do have different thermoses and there's a particular lunchbox that I like to use that has a thermos compartment and you can take it out and use it like a regular lunchbox or you use the thermos part. And that's most of the time, that's how I send, you know, a lot of her food. But what I would do is, like I said, heat it up, make sure the thermos is nice and hot. You know, as soon as you your food comes either out of the microwave or out of the pan, dump out the water and then put your rice down there, you know, put the pernil on top and it stays warm.
Damn. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought that by the time they eat, it would just be cold. Like, I had no idea that you could do it that way. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. If you heat the thermos, that is like, that's a trick. That's a tip that I tell everybody.
All right. So let's see. We're in Hispanic Heritage Month.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of the cool recipes that you were doing online. Mm-hmm. And folks, for those of you guys who haven't gone visit her account, it's Lunchbox Mafia. Why Lunchbox Mafia? What made you create that name?
Well, Lunchbox Cartel was taken and Lunchbox Gang was kind of weak. So, no, I'll be honest.
She was trying to go hardcore, you know what I'm saying?
So, it was a hashtag. Lunchbox Mafia started out as a hashtag. So, that mom group that I was telling you about earlier, we would use the, because, you know, there was, with those moms that would jump on there and be crazy about, you know, calling people out and just, you know, not being nice. Everybody would be like, oh, tell the boss, you know, the admin from the page, you know. So I just kind of made a joke of it, you know, of like being the Lunchbox Mafia. And we started using the hashtag, especially like on Fridays when we were feeling good, you know, or like, if, you know, you have those nights where like your kids slept through the night or like, you know, homework got done and they went to bed early and you had like the best night ever when you were feeling kind of swaggy or like really good, you know, they would use the hashtag Lunchbox Mafia. It just stuck. It was just one of those things, you know, that stuck. So everybody loved it. So I was like, okay, that'll be the name of my page.
She ride it with it.
I had to.
The recipes on there are insane. And so I was mentioning before, Hispanic Heritage Month, when we talk about, you know, having those type of lunches, yours aren't just like your regular tuna sandwich in there. I know you mentioned that you can do that for parents who need that.
Mm-hmm.
But yours are kind of unique in some cases. So you got Cuban sandwich empanadas.
What?
Like, what?
Yes.
I'm like, Cuban sandwich and then the jibarito sandwiches.
Oh,
like,
my God.
What are you doing? Your kid must be going to school like as the envy of everybody else's, because I mean, I make jibaritos. Don't get me wrong; they're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought you can put that as a lunch idea for the kids to take to school. First of all, how do you keep the steak from not drying out by the time that they get to the lunch? But what made you think of those two concepts, like Cuban sandwich empanadas and jibarito sandwiches? Like, it seems like it's extremely cultural.
And
for me, like, why was it so important to create those?
She loves Latin food, and this kid eats good, let me tell you, because my husband's Italian and he could throw down. All right. But she empanadas are her favorite food. And I just, you know, when you think about combining, of course, you know, kids love pizza. So like, I learned how to make pizza, like all kinds of different ways and, you know, put them in an empanada and do this and that. You know, it was just one of those things. Like, empanadas are just like this amazing one, you know, handheld food. You can enjoy it, you know, and, but yeah, that is her favorite food. So we were like, okay, we did like a meatball sub, like a, you know, pizza one and whatever. And just one Sunday we were making Cuban sandwiches and I was like, okay, these would be amazing in an empanada.
And an empanada.
Yeah. And, you know, I made them there was one Sunday, like we were having company and all our friends came over and I made it for them. Yo, they went crazy. So I was like, okay, this is a good one. So, it was because it was her favorite food though. And then the jibarito sandwich, you know, she loves tostones. And I mean, you know, we eat them all the time on the side. But, you know, and then I noticed her, like, you know, she'd be scooping up little, you know, bits of meat or scooping up, you know, whatever was on the plate. And I'm like, if you like your tostones like that, you would love a jibarito sandwich. So then there came the whole story. And I love now that, you know, she gets in the kitchen and she helps me. But as far as packing it, you know, she's okay eating a lot of those things room temperature. So, because it is, you know, people, it's like, there's no way you could keep chicken nuggets, like, crispy and warm and, you know, perfect. Like, you know, she does eat a lot of things room temperature. So that makes it easy for me. But the thing is, too, like, if, you know, kids, everything's always too hot. So it's like, if you have to let it cool off, well, it's room temperature. If they eat it like that at home, they can eat it like that at school, right?
Yeah.
So that was my way. That was what I thought. And it worked. You know, there's a lot of things that she'll be like, oh, it's okay, I'll eat it like that. If you could do that, like teach your kids to eat certain things room temperature. And honestly, from the time I pack it to the time she eats, it's maybe 3 or 4 hours. It's totally safe to eat, you know, at room temperature. So that's not an issue. And she loves
it. I wasn't even talking about the technical aspect of that. I was just trying to talk about like, okay, is the jibarito going to taste good by that time because of the meat? And the like jibaritos are really like unique.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know what a jibarito is, first of all, you're lost because damn.
Yes.
All right. It is literally a sandwich that instead of bread, you're using tostones.
Wepa.
As like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I need a napkin. I don't know. Like jibaritos are like to die for. It's right up there with mofongo for me.
Yes. Oh my God. I love mofongo. I have put mofongo in a thermos for her too. Yeah, because she's like, Mom, this is so good. Can I have it for lunch tomorrow? And I'm like, of course, you know.
Every kid in America right now, or every Latino kid in America, well, even every real kid who hasn't tried this stuff is probably drooling right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is good food. Like, y'all don't know. The Cuban sandwich empanada did it for me.
Make them. You got to make them. Do it.
I saw that.
You were like,
first of all, what crazy ass person comes up with a Cuban sandwich empanada to top it all off? And then I'm interviewing her, but I was like, man, it was unique. It was, because for people who don't know, empanada, Cuban sandwich, that's like a mixture of like 2 to 3 cultures in like one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's like we just combined all kinds of culinary arts into one package. And if you make it even for like a lunch, that is insane. I mean, that has got to be a burst of flavor right there.
Make them.
Crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you started doing content creation. I know you and I, when we were speaking off air, we were talking about how you were following quite a few people that you finally got to meet.
Yeah.
When you started doing content, what was one of those people that you were following that you finally got like face to face with?
One of the first people that I met in person that I work with, her name's Kelly, and she has an account. It's totally, you know, very kid focused, Eat the Rainbow Kids. And we were featured in that article together back in like, I think it was 2018 or 2019. She had a different account at the time. But just always admired, you know, just the lunches, and, you know, we'd engage back and forth once in a while. It was just like, you know, our relationship grew. We started talking a lot more, and then here and there, and I started, you know, creating content for her. And then some time had passed and she decided she was going to have a retreat, you know, for several girls on her team that could go. And this was in July that we went to Colorado, and it was like, it was so surreal. And I know you've experienced this too, because we had talked about it, but it was, you know, I was one of the maybe second to last people to get there. So she's like, we're going to be, you know, kind of when you come out of the gate, we'll be kind of in the middle of the area. And they were, and I recognized every single one of them. And we walked up and it was just like, wow, you know, to see each other in person was like, it was crazy. Like you finally get to hug and look at them and laugh with them. And like that weekend, it was like 3 or 4 days, and it was super, super cool. Like we literally worked together, helped each other, just, you know, talked about just everything, you know, from our kids to creating content, to challenges, to, you know, fun things that everybody was working on. And that had to be like, that was just one of the best experiences. It was super cool.
Yeah. I think, and what she means by that is we were sitting there discussing it, because like for me, my very first time ever being in any frame of being around TikTokers and influencers and actors was when I went to La Leaf, the Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival. And, you know, I was blessed enough to be a part of the Mija premiere, which in turn at the end had a gala. And that's when I met John Huertas and a lot of the TikTokers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and I got a picture with him. I was like, until this day, we still talk on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not like, you know, best buds. I'm not trying to claim John Huerta as a friend, but at least, you know, we're followers. We engage back and forth about different topics and stuff. So it's really cool to have that opportunities mm-hmm. and be able to kind of like finally meet the people. And then we were also talking about how sometimes they're not like what they are on their persona on their Instagram, because I met some people that you meet in real life and you're just like, okay, yeah, you're high energy and it is not the same as what it is in your thing. Like, all I see is the food, but as a human being, you are a spark. Like, damn. Or the person who's reserved.
Yeah. And you're like, just like mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
That's crazy. All right. What does it mean? Like, because I know that there's a lot of different products out there that people can buy and a lot of accounts that they can try to get. But what does it mean to you, you know, being a part of the Latin community, like being able to portray the food and, you know, the way you do it culturally on your page for like people to see that, who may or may not know that these types of foods are out there that can be put in their kids' lunchbox. It's something new mm-hmm. that is unique. It's not like the everyday, you know, ham sandwich or this and that. Like, what does that mean to you?
I mean, I love that I'm the person that can bring it to them. I think, you know, food is one of those things that like just transport you, you know, like I know one of the girls, if I could mention the trip again, I loved getting, when it was my day to create content, I was like, yes, I was so excited because I did, it was like on a flatbread, but it was carnitas. It was like a flatbread, kind of like a pizza, but using, you know, carnitas as my protein. And it was just like, I mean, it turned out really, really good. And then, you know, just being able to share it, to me, it's like those flavors from home, you know, those things that remind you of the people you love and all these great memories and all these great times. And, you know, I remember somebody said like, oh, you know, I would love some rice and beans. And I was like, girl, what? I'm like, I got you. I was like, listen, we need to stop at the store. We need to stop at the store on our way back to the house because I need to get some rice and beans. So they were like, really? I was like, yes. And I did. I made, I found some black beans. So I made white rice and frijoles negro. And, you know, a lot of them were, a couple of the girls are vegetarian and we had like, there was so much food at the house, like we didn't have to worry about meat. So anyway, they like absolutely loved it. And, you know, there were like all these stories, you know, like, oh, I remember one time I was on this trip and I had this and it was like so good. This totally reminds me of that. Or, you know, this one of the girls, her name was Danny. And she just had like, you know, she was raised by a Latina. And, you know, when she was growing up, this lady made like all these foods for her. And she was just like, oh my God. And she told me, she was like, Jenny, you feel like home, you know? And it was just, I love that.
That's a good compliment.
Isn't it? Wow. Isn't it? Like that touched me. Like it was hard to say goodbye after that. Oh my God. But
she's still having trouble now. You can tell she's like all emotional. She's like, I had to.
But that's what it is for me, you know, and then it's, there's certain things, I'll just include the recipe because, you know, like, I know somebody's going to ask, you know, and then the curiosity, I guess, is, you know, when they're just kind of intrigued by the different flavors and the way that we combine, you know, certain foods, you know, it just, they love it. And like I said, to me, it's so inspiring that, you know, that they're getting that from me, that I can be the one to introduce them.
What is, before we're about to play a game.
Okay.
What is the number one lunch idea that you've offered that parents have really resonated with? Like which meal or like lunch meal was like one that everybody was like, okay, that's the one. Like that's the one I'm going
to
do.
I'm sure it had to be like, I always get a ton of compliments, like rice and beans, you know? Like how to do the beans, because people, you know, rice you can figure out. But then also there was it depends too, because a lot of them are like seasonal. Like I love a theme, so there'll be like really fun things I'll do during Halloween. I did like a Dia de los Muertos, like a pizza and I cut out the eyes, and it was like really cool. So it depends there, but
see that one.
But yeah, like definitely, I have to say like empanadas. Like I've had people message me, oh, the ropa vieja. Oh, ropa vieja has to be it. That's it. I got so many. It is.
She had so many. She was like pizza. There was empanadas, and then you finally got to it.
Yeah,
the ropa vieja,
because that was
a Cuban dish.
It is.
It's a Cuban dish. So I mean, like, how did that happen? Like, what made you go, okay, ropa vieja is the one?
Well, that was the one that got like a ton of, you know, interest and whatever. Because I did like a weekday shortcut kind of thing. But, you know, I mean, Tampa, there's a lot of Cubans here, you know, so there's a lot of Cuban influence. And it was one of those recipes, you know, but definitely the empanadas, whenever I make any kind of version, they're like, they're all about it.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right, guys, look, you guys got to check out Lunchbox Mafia and look at the recipes and, you know, reach out to Jenny so that you guys can turn around and find out some tricks.
Yes, come say hi.
Tips on how to make your kids some lunch. So, and she does say hi back, you know, she's not uptight and stuff.
Nah, man.
We know. We reached out to her and she was so gracious and reached out back. And all, stuff. All right, we're going to play a game. It's called Fast Questions.
Oof.
And it's to get to know a little bit about you. You're going to try to answer them as fast as you can.
Okay.
All right. And then we'll see if you and I are compatible in some of these. All right. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Favorite musician?
Mark Anthony.
Hot or cold coffee?
Hot.
Texting or talking?
Talking.
Favorite Latino dish?
Rice and beans. Arroz con gandula en pernil.
Arroz con gandula en pernil. You see? It all goes back to the arroz con gandula en pernil. Hey, one of these questions is a mom question. Carrots or celery?
Carrots.
Carrots? Yeah. Do you like it with anything? Does it have to be just raw or you like it with something?
Yeah, hummus or ranch.
Hummus or ranch. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Favorite novela?
Marimar.
The fact that you had one was funny. All right. After a long day's work, what is your go-to drink?
Ice cold beer.
You're a beer person.
Oh, yeah.
Are you like a beer connoisseur? Or like, do you know the different flavors and types? Or are you just like...
Yeah, like stouts, pilsners, ales. Yeah, we visit some breweries around here. Yeah. Let me tell
that's
you.
That's really cool.
I have the best, one of my favorite beers. Like, I've been going to this place, Infusion Brewery, and I have the same beer every time. It's a peanut butter stout. So good.
Okay, that sounds, mm-hmm. First of all, nasty it sounds, but I'll take your word on that peanut butter stuff.
Yeah, what kind of beers do you like then?
Ironically enough, I don't drink.
Come on, if you were gonna
I'm the anomaly. So I'm over here criticizing your beers, and I don't drink. I think it tastes like carbonated piss. Like, that's just me though.
Some do, but there's so many good ones out there too now.
Hey, look, I have cousins, I have relatives, and I know friends. That's the reason I asked if you were like a beer connoisseur, because there are some people who can literally like taste the difference in beer.
Yeah.
Like they can drink it and they're like, this one has this in it, that one has that in it. For mm-hmm. me, they all taste the same, but like the people who really know, it's like wine tasters. Wine people are the same way. They know the different wines on there.
Yeah.
So what's the best beer the best beer that you've tasted is the one that has the peanut butter in it? Or that has that infusion in it?
I've also had a what is it? It's a hibiscus something. I don't know off the top of my head. But I had to be at the Florida Ave Brewery. That one was really good too.
Okay. Look, mm-hmm. we just gave them a little promotion. Para que sepan. Para que sepan. All right, last question. If you had one place that you got to visit just one time, you only get one time. So this is like the last visit you'll ever have for a vacation. Where would it be?
I can only go there one time?
You can only go there one time.
Man.
Te jodiste. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I don't know. I would have to say, you know, I would really like to see Italy, the hometown, like my husband's hometown.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Have you guys been or no?
No.
You guys never been?
Mm-mm.
Oh, so that would actually be a really good one.
Yeah. And I probably only need to go one time, you know? So that's
it. She's like, I'm going to go. One, we just get over it.
Go and that's over there. It. We check did it. It off.
Yeah, just strike it off the list. We don't need to go back. After that, we'll just visit these two.
Yeah.
For the rest of our days.
Mm-hmm.
Nos metemos en la playa.
Yes.
All right. Jenny, this was amazing. I really do appreciate you coming on and sharing your vision with us over here, over that lunchbox mafia, guys. I mean, if people wanted to follow you, get out some of your recipes, where would they go?
Instagram, Facebook. If there's Tampa Bay Parenting Magazine also that I write for them. They can find pictures, but videos, that's it. Videos, you got to watch the videos and listen to all my old school jams. Those are the best.
Are you thinking about opening up like a YouTube channel for it, or do you already have one?
That's a lot right now. I'm good kind of doing what I'm doing. I know everybody.
She's like, I already say it because everybody seems to have a YouTube.
Yeah, so I know. It's just maybe. We'll see.
In the future, we'll be seeing Lunchbox Mafia all over the place, even on your lunchbox.
Hey, ooh, I like that.
The logo.
I like it.
Lunchbox Mafia lunchboxes.
Mm-hmm.
With exclusive, perfectly circular thermoses that people can put their food in. All designed by Jenny herself. And we all just gave away an idea. Sorry. I should have told her in private. All right, guys. That is our show. Thank you for joining us at Revolución Hispanic Heritage 2022 virtual event. Make sure to follow us and subscribe on this channel at Todo Wafi. Make sure to go to all social medias at Todo Wafi. Check out the entire schedule, www.todowafi.com. I am Rafael. That is Jenny. And we are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche en Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera. Porque para mí mira noches en fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera.